Thank you, Dev. And yes, you are correct. I will not be here this Friday because I will be traveling to New Hampshire for the Miracles Camp that they're having up there. So I'm looking forward to that. This is a pretty full room for the middle of a day on a Tuesday. What's up with everyone? Did anybody have to go to work today? I was surprised when I logged on and saw so many people in the room. Nope, Ice Monkey says it's a day off. Okay, well, it's great to see you all. As Dove mentioned, we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which means that we are reading off of ReginaDawnAkers.com. So let me give you that link. And you're asking, isn't that where the Love House is, New Hampshire? Oh, Dove just gave you the link. There's ReginaDawnAkers.com. Y'all can go there. And the Love House, if you're talking about Lisa Stern's house, that's in Pennsylvania. And I think that that's up for sale, last I heard. I don't know that for a fact, though. All right, so when you get to ReginaDawnAkers.com, what you're going to want to do is go to the menu on the right, find the archives, and you're going to want to go to April 2005. Make sure you get 2005 if you're reading along with us. You can also just listen and not go through any of this. And when you get to April 2005, you'll want to click on the previous entries just once, because we're going to April 11th. So if you click on previous entries just once, then scroll down on the page just a little over halfway down the page, you will find a post called, "Which Voice Do I Follow Now?" And it's dated April 11th, and that's where we're starting off today. And again, as many of you know, because you've been here before, ReginaDawnAkers.com, for the most part, is filled with things that the Holy Spirit gave me to help me as I step forward with the Holy Spirit. So this is, you know, somewhat personal, but obviously, since we all have the same mind, it's useful to all of us. Which voice do I follow now? It's just a thought for the day that the Holy Spirit gave me to help me receive clarity. So let's read that. I always follow. I never lead. The only question is this: which voice am I following now? Is that the voice I choose to follow? Is that where I place my willingness and my faith? I can choose again and let old habits be replaced. My only choice is to follow. I cannot lead. When I surrender to this thought, my choice is clear. So, again, back, if we just go back to where, you know, Regina was in April of 2005, at this point I was still working. Now, we are past April 1, so we're past the point where I have made that final commitment to David Hoffmeister that I will leave my job and become the caretaker for the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. I have also already sold my house. Oh, hello, Lee and Kelly. Here as Waking Up. Nice to see you too. You look good today. I see the smiles. Anyway, so I've already sold my house by this point. So you could say to a point I'm somewhat surrendered. I mean, I am following guidance and making some pretty big changes in my life. But for the most part, to be honest, the thought that I am an independent person who makes my own decisions, all of that thought is still very much intact. I really see myself as an independent and even a strong person, someone who is able to, you know, make good decisions for myself. And so that's really what the Holy Spirit is going after in this particular post. The Holy Spirit is loosening that belief in the mind that I am an independent person who is calling my own shots and making my own decisions. And in fact, I was in a leadership role, so it was kind of as you can see, it was kind of a nice approach for the Holy Spirit to start by teaching me that I didn't lead, that I never lead, that leading, in fact, is impossible for me, and started right off by telling me that I always follow, and I now accept this as pure fact. But at that time I did not. So this is really the Holy Spirit beginning to teach me that I always follow. And of course, that which I follow is the thoughts in my mind. We often talk about the script of the world. What the Holy Spirit has really taught me is to look at it, the lines in the script. I mean, if there's a script, then somebody has to give us our lines so that we can, you know, say our lines and follow our lines. Well, those lines come into our mind as our thoughts. So the script is coming into my mind through my thoughts, and all I'm doing is following the thoughts. And we're all very aware there isn't anything ever that we do that does not follow a thought. But of course, what the Holy Spirit is also teaching through this post is there are two scripts, or there are two directors that are sending lines into the mind. And we can choose which script we will follow. That's the only choice that we will have. So I'm learning that I am not a leader. I am not an independent person who's making decisions. All I'm doing is following a script. The script is being fed into my mind as thoughts, but I actually have a choice because there are two different sets of thoughts or two different scripts or two different directors to choose from. So again, I always follow, I never lead. That was a point that I really got that day. And so the only question is this: which voice am I following now? Is that the voice I choose to follow? So after I discover which voice I'm following now, I really get to ask, is that the one I choose to follow? Or am I unconsciously following the voice that I don't really want to follow? You know, am I making a conscious choice for the Holy Spirit, but then unconsciously believing those lines that the ego is feeding into my mind, you know, believing that so-and-so over there is disrespecting me, and that is totally uncalled for, and blah, 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 everything else that the ego feeds into the mind. So am I blindly following the ego script, or am I consciously following the Holy Spirit script? Which voice am I following now? Is that the voice I choose to follow? Is that where I place my willingness and my faith? And in fact, this is a line that later, when I did the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Matthew, this shows up again in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Matthew, because the Holy Spirit made it very clear throughout Matthew that, you know, the job that we have to do, again, is sort through our thoughts, or, you know, as we could use the language we're using now, choose between the two scripts in the mind. And that really what we need to learn to do is to look at every single thought and ask, is this a thought I'm willing to put my faith in? So when I see that so-and-so over there has disrespected me, is this a thought I'm willing to put my faith in? Is this what I want to believe? Is this how I want to perceive? Is this the experience I want to continue to have? Is this making me happy? Do I feel good with this thought? And if not, then I really need to let the thought go. So this is the same thing. Is this thought where I place my willingness and my faith? Yeah, Kelly, I knew you'd like that one. Kelly's saying, very good, Regina. And I couldn't help but think of Kelly as I was saying that, because that's exactly how Kelly thinks. That's what Kelly does. If you don't know Kelly, Kelly is 18 years old, I believe. But she's very good at looking at her thoughts and saying, does this thought make me happy? And, you know, if the thought doesn't make her happy, she lets it go. And I really admire Kelly, you know, an 18-year-old, forgive me for a moment, child. When you're 47, you'll get what I mean by that, Kelly. And she's already doing what we're talking about right here. She's already looking at the thoughts in their mind. Certainly she has situations, you know, as a teenager when someone seems to disrespect her. We know that that happens within the teenage scene. And she is already looking at that thought in her mind that she has been disrespected or mistreated by a peer, and choosing to let those thoughts go. So I really admire that, Kelly. And I'm also very grateful to you, because I am very much aware of the fact that we are one mind, and that everything you do for me as well. So thank you, Kelly. I'm grateful. So again, is that the voice I choose to follow? Is that where I place my willingness and my faith? And if not, then I can choose again. I can choose again and let these old habits be replaced. My only choice is to follow, Holy Spirit emphasizes. I cannot lead. When I absolutely surrender to this thought, when I absolutely accept that I am not an independent thinker and that all I can do is follow, then my choice is very clear because of my heart. I know what choice I want to make. I want to follow the Holy Spirit script and let the ego script go. So I really consider this, you know, one of the key thoughts that Holy Spirit gave me, because I needed to have that belief that I was an independent person, you know, shaken in my mind and let go, so that I could begin to make these choices, which, of course, not only make me happier, but they're choices that, as I mentioned when I was talking about Kelly a moment ago, they're choices that help us all. You know, as I accept the atonement for myself, I help everyone else. One thing that I saw once upon a time was that the greatest gift I could give to my brothers was to accept the atonement for myself. That was the greatest gift of all. And this thought is one that really helps us to take a giant step forward in accepting that atonement, because it helps us to realize we're not an independent person. And the only choice we have, or as the Course says, is which interpreter will we listen to? Which voice will we listen to? Which script in the mind are we going to follow? That's it. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share. All right, then. Let's scroll up on reginadonacres.com if you're following along. We're going to go up to I am not alone. Okay, I see that Steve and Lori have their hand up. Steve and Lori, please take the mic.
Okay, so I go up now this time. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was just noticing this. It was like there's a section in the text, I think it talks about rules for decision, and about six or seven paragraphs into it, it finally says that it seems like you made this choice by yourself. But it goes on to say something pretty much like this, that we never really are deciding anything ourselves. We're just deciding something based on which teacher we're listening to, or which voice we're listening to, or which thought system we're listening to. So for me, that really reinforces that section there about, you know, it doesn't say it in the beginning of it, rules for choice, but near the end it says that, kind of what it says in the beginning of yours, I always follow, I never lead. The only question is, which voice am I following? And there it just says that you're always listening to one guide or another. It's just a matter of which one and whether you're aware or not that you're listening to it. So I guess that just really helped reinforce that for me. I don't know. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Steve. All right, so we're ready for I Am Not Alone. And this is posted on April 15th, 2005. And I don't really remember this right now, so let me just start reading it and see if anything comes back to me. I am not alone. All of heaven is by my side, working with me, cheering for me, providing me with the means. There is no cause for worry or concern. There is only time for joy and enjoyment, love and gratitude. It is a happy world when I relax into God's arms and let Him carry me where He would have me go. I am like a child, and He is my loving Father. He knows where my joy and safety lie. I need only trust Him and anticipate in happy excitement the joyous gifts He will share with me. My joy is His joy. So my joy is guaranteed. And I do remember this as I went on reading it. I remember receiving this message. And again, you know, if we go back to where I was, although it's getting to be an old story, it's still where I was. And that was, of course, in a place where I was letting go of my job, letting go of my home, taking off to, I think I knew by now that I was going to North Carolina, taking off to North Carolina, to start this whole new life. And again, you know, fear would come up in my mind. There's just no doubt about that. And this is one of those messages that Holy Spirit gave me to help me let go of the fear. And of course, at this time, I did not yet at all understand that the thoughts that I accepted into my mind actually created my experience. I had no idea about that yet, not even a beginning inkling. If I had, maybe I would have watched my mind much more closely than I was, but I didn't really get that yet. That hadn't clicked for me. I understood the mechanics of forgiveness, but I did not understand what I was doing to myself when I was listening to the ego script. So the Holy Spirit would give me messages like this to help me shift out of fear into trust, because the Holy Spirit did know what I was doing to myself. I'm going to come back to that in just a second, but I want to turn the mic over to Kelly and Lee, so please take the mic.
Okay. Hi, Regina. It's Lee. Something just ignited in my mind when you were talking, and the more you talk, I just looked at Kelly and said, holy shit, I can't believe she's saying this. What a mother, huh? So I made a note to myself so I wouldn't forget what you just said. You wrote, I did not understand what I was doing to myself when I was listening to the ego's script. You were speaking earlier about how there's two directives going on in the mind at all times. It's just that what directive am I going to be listening to? And it came to me several weeks ago, you know, I think that forgiveness is, you know, you hear a lot of people say, where, yeah, easy there, Christian. I only beat them twice a day. I got to close my eyes because she cracks me up. Anyway, what's my forgiveness lesson? And it's always at the tip of my nose, right? And it's viciously attacking myself with food. I had to really look at that. My whole adult life, I was very slight, and I gained a lot of weight when my husband left a long time ago, and it never took it off. And so then these thoughts were coming into my mind, like, you believe, you know, throw away wife, throw away child, like all of these directives in my mind that were really subtle or quick, as you have pointed out before, Regina. So I said, you know, what's forgiveness? This, you know, no matter where you want to go, no matter what you want to do, Miss Lee, Miss Child of God, 1 second, honey. You are viciously attacking yourself with food, and you're still innocent. If you want to continue to do that, that's okay. You'll do it until you don't no longer want to viciously attack yourself. Are you saying prayers over there, mister? So I notice now, 3 weeks, not viciously... Just let me finish what I'm saying. 3 weeks, not viciously... I'm sorry, Kevin's praying in the background and it's taking my attention. So I notice, seriously, honey, stop, that the thoughts, the directives around food in my mind, that I really had no idea how to eat. I really had no idea how to nourish myself. And I couldn't see the thoughts until I stopped the behavior. So I stopped the behavior in order to forgive the thoughts. And the thoughts were so... Am I coming across clear? Because I'm really distracted. No, you don't have to take them. Don't go anywhere. Don't, because I can sign off. So am I clear, Cal?
Yeah, you're realizing the thoughts that you're having to develop.
And some of the thoughts are, Kevin Vito, stop. Some of the thoughts are... I used to think there were like no calories in fruit. There were like no calories in vegetables. I thought I knew what a single serving of protein was. I thought I knew what was going, you know, going right with my body. Now, I said to Kelly, you know what's the weirdest thing? I'm like re-educating myself how to take care of my body, and I see all these directives going on in my mind that I used to think that I knew something about taking care of my body. And I said, she was reading A Course in Miracles, and I was reading something about nutrition, and I said, Kel, it's the weirdest thing. I feel like this is A Course in Miracles for me right now, so powerfully. So when you talk... When you talked about the two directives and you said, I did not understand what I was doing to myself when I was listening to the ego's script, you took it even further. So I just want to thank you because it's an opportunity for this to go more deeply in my mind. Pretty good with all these distractions, huh? Thanks.
Thank you, Lee. And your hand's still up if you want to put that down so I'll know when you raise it again. It's kind of like driving down the street with your blinker on. I don't know if you're going to turn or not. hello, Kevin Vito. I love you. And also, you were talking about food. I was sitting here giggling because I think I usually eat fairly well, but this morning I wanted popcorn for breakfast, so that's what I had, and I wanted cheesecake for lunch, so that's what I've had. So I've had popcorn and cheesecake today, but very unusual for me. But anyway, as I was saying, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing to myself. I didn't understand what I was doing to myself because I didn't understand the creative power of accepting a thought. You know, I mean, the thoughts come into the mind, like we said, as a script, and the script is completely benign. It doesn't really matter whether it's the ego script or the Holy Spirit script as it comes into the mind. It is benign. It has no power as it comes into the mind. Where it gets that creative power is when I accept the thought. When I accept the thought, then it has the creative power. And what it actually creates is experience, which of course we all know is different than creating reality. And in order not to get confusing, A Course in Miracles uses the word make instead of create. But NTI just is very clear that you're creating experience instead of some type of reality. So when I accept the thought, I'm actually creating my own experience. So if I'm accepting fear thoughts, I'm creating my own fearful experience is what I'm doing. Well, I didn't get that yet. I didn't get that. So when I would start worrying about things like, what were our finances going to be after I quit my job? Because I knew I wasn't going to be paid by David Hoffmeister. And all of my life I had been receiving a salary. Now I was stepping into a full-time job with no payment. And, you know, it was very easy for me to get afraid when I started thinking about that. And what I didn't understand was that by thinking those thoughts and worrying about the future, I was creating my own fearful experience. Now, but Holy Spirit does know that, because Holy Spirit knows what I am, and Holy Spirit knows the laws that I operate under. So even though I was not aware of what I was doing by believing my fear, Holy Spirit was aware of what I was doing. So what Holy Spirit would do is give me thoughts that would shift my mind from accepting fear thoughts or thinking with fear to accepting trust thoughts and thinking with trust. And by giving me those thoughts and helping me to shift my mind, Holy Spirit literally led me to create a different experience for myself, even though I didn't know what I was doing. I was completely blind, but the one that was leading me was not. So this was not a case of the blind leading the blind. So this message is one of those types of messages where the Holy Spirit saw what I was doing with my creative power, creating an experience of fear, understood that I didn't get that yet, and so was providing me with some thoughts that I would accept and meditate on all day long that would shift my mind from that fear to trust, and therefore lead me to create a different experience for myself. How loving is that? I mean, that is really loving. So let me, now that you understand, now that you have that framework around that thought, let's just read this thought again. And as we read this thought, notice how perfect it is in doing that, in shifting me from creating fearful experiences to creating experiences of trust. I am not alone. All of heaven is by my side, working with me, cheering for me, providing me with the means. There is no cause for worry or concern. There is only time for joy and enjoyment, love and gratitude. It is a happy world when I relax into God's arms and let Him carry me where He would have me go. I am like a child, and He is my loving Father. He knows where my joy and safety lie. I need only trust Him and anticipate in happy excitement the joyous gifts He will share with me. My joy is His joy, and so my joy is guaranteed. Do you see how perfect that message is? To shift me? I mean, it has so many lines in it that were exactly what I needed to hear for that shift. The I am not alone. You know, because of course when I was fearing about how I would make it, I was seeing myself as totally responsible for coming up with my financial security. I am not alone. All of heaven is by my side, working with me, cheering for me, providing me with the means. Do you see how that thought, when accepted, just zaps out the fear? No cause for worry or concern. You know, it's a happy world when I relax into God's arms and let Him carry me where He would have me go. See how that pulls up that complete desire, that true desire just to surrender to God in a way that just kind of makes you go, ah, and the worries, the fears just melt away. So an absolutely perfect message given from one who knows what I am to me, to help me create my own experience of trust, even though I didn't know I was a creator yet. It's absolutely perfect. Any comments? Okay, then before we move on to something else, I would also like to say that for those of us who do understand the process of creating experience, we can do for others as the Holy Spirit has done for me. The others in this case don't even have to be people who are studying A Course in Miracles. They could not care at all about A Course in Miracles or a spiritual path. It could be the furthest thing from their mind and from their interest. You know, they could be a neighbor, they could be a coworker, they could be a relative, a friend. But as they are talking and we hear the fear in their voice and we hear them worrying, we know what they are even though they don't. And we know what they are doing to themselves. So what we can do is invite the Holy Spirit into our mind to guide us in our words and our actions to help lead them into a place of trust. Because that's really all they have to do, is shift into that place of trust. Whatever their perceived problem is, it's totally irrelevant. They're going to create a fear experience for them if they stay in that fear. But if we can help them make a shift into trust, they're going to create something different for themselves, because they're a creator, whether they know it or not. And we don't have to teach them the course. You know, we don't have to do that at all. And certainly if it's not their interest, that wouldn't be at all helpful. I do that with Jasmine all the time. Jasmine will start talking about some situation at school and she's getting worried that so-and-so is not going to like her or something. And I'll just say a sentence or two that just shifts her into a place of trust that it's all going to work out. It may be something as simple as, well, you know, Jasmine, girls your age have fights. They only last a second. By tomorrow, it's going to be perfect. Something that simple. And you can see her relax. And then the next day she comes back and reports, oh, so-and-so and me are friends again. I'm like, see, Jasmine, I told you, these things are all temporary. They never last. Your friendship's what's going to last forever. So, you know, everyone around us is a creator. And if we keep that in our mind, not only are we able to help them, but guess what else we do? We continually teach to ourselves what we are. because we are reminding ourselves what we are. And as we remind ourselves what we are, we also remind ourselves to watch our mind and watch what voice we're accepting. So you can see how it's kind of a win-win situation. And let's see, David is writing, "We are all affecting the world every moment, whether we mean to or not. Our actions and states of mind matter because we're so deeply interconnected with one another." Absolutely, absolutely. And lots of times the way that we'll help someone else relieve their fear will be an action of form in the world. You know, we may be guided to donate money to a charity or something like that. It may make someone feel better. That's all right. It's all about shifting the mind, regardless of what it looks like in form. It's all about shifting the mind from the state of fear to the state of trust. And whenever we're guided to be helpful in doing that, it's a real honor. Okay, Sunday, April 17th. Okay, this shows that Holy Spirit can use anything. Because what happened was Holy Spirit gave me a message a couple of weeks earlier. And basically what the Holy Spirit said in that message was that it wanted me to let go of all relationships except my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if you were here when I taught about that message, you heard that I didn't like that message one little bit. It was probably the most highly resistant I was to any message that the Holy Spirit had given me up until that date. I was not at all satisfied with the fact that Holy Spirit seemed to be telling me to let go of all relationships except my relationship with Him, because in my mind that included my relationship with Jasmine, you know, for example. And I just didn't want to do that. So what I did in my mind is I decided that I must have misunderstood the Holy Spirit. It couldn't possibly have been asking me to do what I thought I was doing. And so I decided he must not have been talking about my relationship with Jasmine. And he wasn't. We'll get back to that too. But I was using my thinking mind. I wasn't asking the Holy Spirit, "What did you mean?" Okay, I was using my thinking mind, and I reasoned, he must not have been talking about my relationship with Jasmine. He must have been talking about my special relationships with things like money, because I'm worried about not having money, or being on time, because at that time of my life, every single morning I got stressed out as I was trying to get Jasmine to school on time and me to work on time. It was major upset every morning of my life because I wanted to get her to school on time and get me to work on time. So I thought, this must be what he's talking about. He must be saying, let go of these relationships. So I was, first of all, totally wrong on what Holy Spirit was trying to tell me. But I decided that I was right. And I went to Holy Spirit with a question about that. Now, you'll notice that Holy Spirit, even though I was misperceiving at the time what Holy Spirit was trying to teach me, didn't care. The Holy Spirit didn't care that I was misperceiving what it was trying to teach me. It went ahead and went with my misperception and taught me from there. So watch how beautiful this is. I asked the question. Recently, I realized, through my own thinking, that there are several special relationships I need to let go of, including my special relationship with being on time and with other people as separate entities. Oh, I figured that's what he must mean. Okay. Can you help me to let go of these relationships? So the Holy Spirit answered me. You think it is time, okay? Or you think that you have a special relationship with being on time. It is not. You think it is separate people and their unreasonable thoughts and behaviors. It is not. It is you. It is your mind that harbors the guilt, unworthiness, and fear that you would rather project than claim, get rid of than let go of. To seem to toss guilt, unworthiness, and fear away from you may bring a moment of release, but nothing more. You may not experience even a moment of release, since the guilt of projection can be immediate. The self-hate seems to set in, and it seems real and justified for what you have done. No, this is never true. None of this is true. You are not guilty. You cannot hurt aspects of mind. There is a delay in awareness of truth, but nothing more. Truth is truth, and it cannot be changed or divided by you. So again, he's not going back to what he was trying to teach me. He's just going with where I'm at right now. So, you know, I thought, well, he must be talking about the fact that I get stressed out every morning while we're trying to be on time. Or he must be talking about the fact that I see people as separate from me. And those are also good lessons. So the Holy Spirit just went with that. And so he's trying to tell me, it's not really that you're stressed out about time. The real problem is that you have this guilt, unworthiness, and fear inside of you, and you're looking for something to blame. So one thing that you can blame is, you know, the clock. You know, like, you're not, it's not just that you have a belief of unworthiness in your mind, it's that being late makes you unworthy. So you're like blaming that on something else instead of just seeing this as something in your mind that needs to be released. And he's saying that, you know, that's not going to help. You know, every single morning, if you want to, you can blame the situation for making you feel unworthy, but it's not going to help. You're going to continue to feel unworthy. So he wants me to realize it has nothing to do with whether I'm on time or whether I'm not. That has nothing to do with my feelings. I feel the feelings that I feel because they're inside of my mind, and I believe them. And that's really all I need to see. So then he continues, to stop the delay, which is the delay of recognizing the truth, to stop the delay and speed up your awareness of love's presence, say this whenever you are tempted to see anything differently. So it doesn't matter whether I'm tempted to get upset because we're running late again, and I'm thinking that's making me unworthy. It doesn't matter whether I'm upset with a coworker. It doesn't matter what's upsetting me. Whenever I am upset, this is what he wants me to say to myself. I am love, and I am the presence of love now. I am tempted because I have decided to see myself differently. But my imaginary perception cannot change who I am. Right now, I have a choice. I can continue to play this game I have made. It is my turn, and if I choose to, I can play now. Or I can decide that I have tired of this game and choose to step outside the ring of illusion. I can open my mind to reality, and it will return to me. Then I can watch the game from outside the ring, and I will see it as only a game. Nothing in reality is changed by the game's children's play. As the game leads to weeping, I can comfort my brothers. As the game leads to anger and fear, I can overlook what isn't real. I can hold out my hand to any who believe they may be tiring of the game. And I can help them to leave the ring of illusion if they choose to stand up and follow me. I am the hand of Jesus and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I am the memory of our Father and a symbol of truth. I am the path my brothers seek. But I must choose to stop playing the game, to step outside the ring and into the light. This is the opportunity that is offered to me now. It is my turn to play. Will I play or let go of my part in the game? And when the Holy Spirit gave me that, it was also accompanied by a small vision. So the way I saw, there was like a rope circle, kind of like a sumo wrestling circle, actually. A rope circle kind of in the dirt. And inside of the rope circle, there was a board game, and it was, you know, really based on war and strategy, the game was. And, you know, what happened is that we were all sitting around the board game playing. And so what would happen, let's say I'm the blue piece, and it's the yellow piece's turn, the yellow piece would attack me. And now it's my turn, and I can attack back, or I can take some evasive maneuver to avoid more attack, right? There's all these things I can do in the strategy of this game. But what the Holy Spirit is telling me is if I do anything, I'm still playing the game. If I do anything, I'm still playing the game. What the Holy Spirit is recommending that I do is nothing. And we know this from the Course. I need do nothing. Pass. and not play. Don't try to strategize out of the attack. Don't try to strategize avoiding the attack. Don't attack back. Don't go and get more people on my side. Don't do any of the things that I can do in the game of war in order to win. Just don't play. And the Holy Spirit is telling me if I do that, if I just stop playing the game, what will happen is that I will wake up. And then once I wake up, I can be used to help others. And I really love that paragraph that says, I am the hand of Jesus and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because when you read that paragraph, you can feel that desire inside of you, that true desire to be the pure representative of our truth and nothing else, to let everything else go and to be only the love that you are. So I'm going to read that paragraph one more time and just listen to how much within you, you want to be this, what this paragraph says. I am the hand of Jesus and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I am the memory of our Father and a symbol of truth. I am the path my brothers seek. But I must choose to stop playing the game, to step outside the ring and into the light. And then again, Holy Spirit says, whenever anything happens in the world that tempts me to be upset, whether it's we're running late again, or whether somebody seems to disrespect me at work, that's my opportunity to play. Which means it's also my opportunity not to play. And by remembering this true desire to be only the love that I am, to be the hand of Jesus, to be the voice of the Holy Spirit, by remembering that in my mind, that will help me to make the choice not to play when it's my turn. So it was a very, very helpful message. And in fact, it continued to be extremely helpful to me for a very long time. I'm just going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say before I continue. Now, I mentioned that where this question came from was another lesson, a different lesson that Holy Spirit was trying to teach me that I could not accept. So let me just go back and talk about that a little bit. The other lesson is when Holy Spirit asked me to let go of all relationships except for my relationship with Him. And I was not at all happy with that request. The Holy Spirit ended up coming back to me, so we'll see this message later. It was like May 2nd or May 3rd. Again, with the same request. But this time, I was more open and I was able to understand more clearly what the Holy Spirit wanted. And it goes back to the idea of having the script in the mind and really only having two scripts to choose from, the ego script or the Holy Spirit script. And everything that we see in the world, everything that we experience through the filter of the script we are listening to, which means no matter what I think I'm experiencing, be it popcorn and cheesecake, be it my daughter Jasmine who just walked in the door, be it teaching on Pal Talk, taking a walk, no matter what I'm experiencing through the filter of the script that I'm listening to in the mind at the time. So what the Holy Spirit was really saying when he was saying that he wanted me to let go of all relationships but him, is he was really saying he wanted me to let go of listening to the ego script. Because if I look at teaching in Pal Talk, for example, through the ego script, well, you know, that could happen a couple different ways. I could think that I'm way too unworthy to be here, that you all are laughing at me, that you're totally aware of what an idiot I am.
You're not an idiot.
And that would be my experience the whole time I'm teaching. Or I could swing the opposite way, and I could think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that you all are absolutely, you know, admiring me and wishing you were me. Hello, Jasmine.
Hello.
But either way, I'm listening.
Think
Yeah, go get a drink. Okay. Either way, I'm listening to the ego script. But you see, my experience is completely colored by that script. And when I look at Jasmine, it's the same thing. You know, I can have different opinions and thoughts about Jasmine, and the opinions and thoughts that I'm having are colored by the script I'm listening to. So what Holy Spirit was really trying to tell me is that I don't have relationships with people. I don't even have a relationship, you know, with the experience of talking in pal talk, or a relationship with a sunny day, or a relationship with anything. The only relationship I have is the relationship with the script in my mind that I'm choosing to listen to right now. And if I'm choosing to listen to the ego script, then my relationship is with the ego. So really, in asking me to only have a relationship with him, the Holy Spirit was asking me to only listen to the Holy Spirit's script, and to experience everything through that script, to experience teaching and pal talk through the Holy Spirit script, to experience my daughter Jasmine through the Holy Spirit script, to experience a walk on a sunny day through the Holy Spirit script. That's all that was being asked of me, and I simply did not understand the message the first time, and so totally rejected it. But when Holy Spirit did come back in May and explain it to me again, I saw it, and in fact had the opportunity to teach it in Pal Talk, I believe on May 3rd or May 5th. Dove probably knows the date. and it was a very enlightening moment for many people. So that was the message the Holy Spirit was trying to teach me that I was not accepting because I was misunderstanding. Yes, Steve and Lori, please take the mic.
Okay, thank you, Regina. Yeah, I was just hearing you associating the script and the filters together, and I don't think I'd ever heard you put that together. So that was kind of neat. And also, when you were sharing about the script, then there was an article in one of the more recent, John Monday's Miracle Magazines, and it was by Tom and Linda Carpenter, and I think I remember that you read that book, and it said, like, only, it was an article about the confusion about scripts, you know, and then the article was titled, Only Holy Spirit Script is Written, and then it went on in the article to say that, like, the ego script can change from minute to minute, you know, that's really got nothing to do with anything, but the script that we are following, which it's neat that he's asking you just to follow his script and, you know, ignore the rest of the scripts and stuff like that. That one's, there's some confusion, I think, in Gary Renard's book. They talk about a script, and some people get frustrated, like, well, if the script is written, why do anything? You know, I think I looked and heard Cliff Nick talking about that yesterday morning and stuff. And so it's nice that you were, I mean, I enjoyed that article, too, a little bit about the only Holy Spirit's script is written, you know, and the other one is just changes from minute to minute if we believe it, so... I think what I just heard you say about the filters was really helpful for me, so thank you for sharing that and for letting me share.
Hello, Sandy. It's nice to meet you. I've met your husband via phone, but I haven't met you yet. It's nice to meet you. And yeah, Steve, I think there's a lot of confusion about the script. I think that's, you know, there are a few symbols that A Course in Miracles uses that are very good symbols. But I think that they can definitely be misunderstood. And, you know, one thing about studying anything, it doesn't matter whether it's Buddhism, A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, one thing we need to understand is we aren't studying truth. We're studying symbols. And those symbols point toward truth. But the symbols are only symbols. And when we start thinking the symbols are truth, you know, it's very easy to get confused. So again, the whole script thing is a symbol, and that symbol is also used in NTI. So, you know, it's a very useful symbol, but the whole script thing is a symbol. And really what the script helps us to do, the script helps us to see that we are not the decision maker. And again, when I use this word, I don't want to be confused disagreeing with Ken Wapnick, because I'm not. Ken Wapnick and I are actually teaching the same thing. We're just using the words differently. What he calls the decision maker is what I call the chooser. And he, if you listen to him closely, you'll see he uses it in the exact same way, because he, of course, teaches that you can only decide between the Holy Spirit and the ego. Well, that's what I call the chooser, because we're choosing from one script or the other. But the decision maker, the decision maker, the one that creates the script. That is our oneness. That is our oneness. There's no seeming individual that is independently doing anything. And because there's no seeming individual that can independently do anything, everything that you seem to do as an individual is coming to you from our oneness, and that is referred to as a script. And in a way, it is written, because the only thing you can choose from are the thoughts in your mind. So it comes into your mind as a written script. But the funny thing is, it's written as it comes into your mind, but it's also being written as you accept the thoughts. So it's a script that is received, written, and then being sent out as being written at the same time. So it's what you might call an interactive script. Or I think the way that the Taoists describe it is a script with infinite possibilities. So it's both written and being written. Both of those statements are true. It's written and it's being written. And if we get beyond the level of detail to the level of content, the script of the ego is the script of separation. You can really break it down into all of the ego thoughts, no matter what form they have. All of the ego thoughts that come into your mind are really fear, guilt, or unworthiness. And no matter what the thought is, you can trace it back, and it's going to trace back to fear, guilt, or unworthiness. And in that way, that script is written. And yes, the Holy Spirit script is the script of wholeness. And the Holy Spirit script is the only script that represents truth. So the Holy Spirit script is the only true script. It represents our wholeness, our oneness, and that's all that it speaks to us of. And the ego script is completely false, but we can play it out and experience it for as long as we want. But from what the Holy Spirit has taught me, there is no truth to the fact that you have no choice, which is the way some people interpret the symbol of the script, that you have no choice, that you're just like this puppet, just doing this stuff, and no matter what you tried to do, you could not change it. The Holy Spirit has never taught that to me. We choose from a script in the mind, and as we choose from the script in the mind, the script continues to be written so that it comes back again and we have more choices. So the more and more you choose the Holy Spirit script, the more and more you're going to be aware of the Holy Spirit script in the mind, and you're going to keep making those choices. But let me give you an example of how the script can change. I'm going to give you an example from Peace Pilgrim's life, because, you know, she really inspired me. And many of you will know these stories. These stories will not be new to you. But, like, there's the story of the time that she was watching a young girl. I think the girl was 9 years old. And a man showed up. I have no idea who this man was. But a man showed up in a car and started running after the little girl. And it seemed to be very apparent that what was happening was that he was going to beat the little girl. That seemed obvious. Well, Peace was inside writing a letter, and when she saw this through the window, she ran out, knowing that because the little girl was accepting the fear script in her mind that the situation seemed to be creating, that this script was going to continue to play out that way, because we really had fear and fear. And that's what the script was going to do. So she went out there as someone who understood that she was looking at two creators that were creating an experience right now that would not make either one of them happy. And she went out there and she put herself between the little girl and the man. And she looked at the man. She didn't say a word. She looked at the man and merely loved him. She knew what his truth was, even though he did not know what it was. And she looked him right in the eye and merely loved him. And by choosing that in her mind, the script changed. As the man stood and looked at her loving him, he started to listen to different thoughts in his mind, and he ended up walking away. So you can see how there are, like the Taoists say, infinite possibilities within this script. It is not written so that only one set of events is going to happen, and there's nothing we can do to change it. But we have to choose from the script that's in our mind. And we have to choose the Holy Spirit script. And as we choose the Holy Spirit script, it can sometimes have an effect on the others around us because they'll see the choice we make. It makes them look again at their mind, and they can make a different choice. But it's all about being the chooser. It's all about being the chooser and constantly making the right choices in our mind. Any questions about the script? It's a very interesting conversation. And I think in Gary Renard's book, in Disappearance of the Universe, again, we're talking about symbols. But Gary's book does talk about how the script can change. It words it differently. It doesn't say that the script itself can change in DU. What it talks about is how, I think the words, gosh, I wish I could remember the words. He talks about changing from one dimension of time to another dimension of time, I think is the words he uses. So that, you know, as you make a decision, you know, if you choose the Holy Spirit script instead of the ego script, you then shift into another dimension of time, which in effect would be a different script. Again, those are just symbols saying the same thing. But you can see how that demonstrates that there was a change in what's going to play out because of a choice made in the mind. And we don't need to get caught up in the symbols or confused by the symbols. We want to understand what the symbols are teaching us. And what the symbols are teaching us is that we're all one, we're all interconnected, there is nothing we can do independently, and the only thing we can do is watch our mind and make right choices. That's really what the whole thing is teaching us. So if we take it down to the basics and just remember my job, which is to continually watch my mind and make sure I choose the Holy Spirit script in the mind, then I don't have to get confused about all the different symbols that are used to try and teach me that. Steve and Lori, please take the mic.
Yeah, I guess the part that I was getting out of the article, and you probably didn't read the article, so it's hard, and I've read it twice maybe, but I think the reason that they said the Holy Script is written is because the atonement's already complete, you know, and if we're following the Holy Spirit script, salvation is kind of guaranteed, and that's why I think maybe they were saying, like, only the Holy Spirit script is really written in stone or has actually been accomplished, you know, and everything else is just like you said earlier, playing games. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit or the ego script, we're really just playing games until we let go of that playing game. So and I'm not trying to put you on the spot as far as, like, knowing what the article said. It's just kind of was trying to explain that idea of scripts because it's confusing. Like you said, they're just symbols and they could have different meanings to different people. But I think what they were saying when they said the Holy Spirit script is written is that the atonement in reality is complete, and that's why if we follow the Holy Spirit script, we will get there, kind of, I think. So thanks again for letting me share. And I understood what you were saying, too. It was helpful. Thanks again for sharing with me. Appreciate it.
Steve, believe it or not, I actually read that article last night. Just last night I read that article. And the way that I understood it in my mind when they said only the Holy Spirit's script is written, another set of words that would say the same thing to me is only the truth is true. You know, that's all that's really going on here. No matter what it looks like, the only thing that's going on here is oneness. That's it. You know, that's kind of the way I understood it. Again, they were using symbols and words, but only the truth is true. And in fact, you know, another symbol that A Course in Miracles uses is, you know, kind of like the separation has already ended, the world has already ended. Well, those are symbols because in order for it to already have ended, it means it would have had to have at some point happened. Well, the separation actually never happened. It's not that it's already ended, it's that it never happened. But those symbols are all helpful to us at different places in understanding. All symbols point our mind in the direction of truth, but symbols themselves are not truth. So, you know, we don't want to get caught up in the symbols, but we do want to continue to walk in the direction of awakening, which is realizing the only thing that is true now. And the only thing that is true now is the only thing that's always been true. And that is oneness, or we can call that God. But since a lot of people have a different idea of what God is, it might even be more clear to say that is oneness. Oneness is all that is true. There's never been anything but oneness. The separation has never, ever, ever happened. It didn't exist for a single solitary instant. So, I noticed that Stephen Laurie wrote, we have to stop believing in the game. Absolutely. You know, actually, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for me to go. But we'll start there next week. I will be here next week because next week on the April 18th post, the Holy Spirit talks about the game again. Uses that symbol of the game within the rope circle. So we'll start there next week. I am here Thursday of this week for the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, our study group, and we are in the book of Acts, so maybe I'll see you all then. And if any of you are going to New Hampshire this weekend for Miracles Camp, I will be there and I will see you there. Goodbye, everyone. I love you.